Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we're recapping the Sword of Merge episode, which Alexa, actually, we have titled Merge in all caps, but did you put like,
To get people excited to come to this video.
We should have called it Survivor Season 41. We're not voting anyone out tonight, so we're going to tell you that 3 minutes into the episode so that you know there's nothing exciting coming at the end. Okay. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm gonna throw this out there up front because Survivor just wasted an hour of my life. So I'm just going to say, if you don't want to hear me complain, do not listen to this episode. That's all I'm saying. Alexa, if you don't feel that way, you can be the positive, but I'm just telling people right now, if you don't want to hear me complain, you don't have to listen.
I'm going to be just like the neutral to like not positive because like I don't really have a problem with the fact that they didn't vote someone out. I don't love that they told us early because then it's like, okay, why should I? Like, why do I really care? Mm-hmm. I think this would have been a great 2 hour episode. I know that like requires a lot of broadcasting people to talk to each other, but like, this would have been a fantastic 2 hour episode. Cause in the first hour, they set it up. Second half, then they vote someone out, with, you know, just take next week's and scoot it up. But it's just, you know, it like the pacing's tough. Like I really just felt like it was kind of boring, honestly. And like merge episodes, like in general, like standard merge episodes, like they don't excite me like the way that other episodes do, just because it's always just like a total mess of like people running around and like you can't even like really get a full grasp of the strategy because the players don't have a full grasp of their strategy. But for this, it was like, honestly, my favorite part of the episode was the first 5 minutes when Shan and Ricard were like being siblings again. Like I loved the challenge. Big fan of like, you got to dig a ball out, like this gigantic ball out of the sand. I thought that was great. But like there was, I just like couldn't really get invested in the red buff people talking because it didn't matter. And I couldn't really get invested in the, I don't know, the still mergatory
people.
The mergatory people. Just because like it wasn't going to mean anything. And also all the, you know, pretty much every single conversation except for like this alliance that kind of came up at the very end, it was all just like Liana running around like trying to figure out who has an advantage, and she doesn't have to figure it out because three people are extremely public about it.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's like expecting me to just go on one of my fun rants, which I think are quite entertaining. I'm honestly too bored.
I'm like apathetic.
I'm so over it. It's so stupid. So here's my biggest complaint. I'm too tired to say anything. The egos on the Survivor producers to come out right away and tell us, one, we're not doing tribal, but two, this challenge you're about to spend 10 minutes watching means almost absolutely nothing until we tell you if it actually means something, is insane. Because why do you not feel invested? Why do I not feel invested? Why does most of this chat not feel invested? Because we were told that everything we watch tonight might not actually be what ends up happening. So what a wait, like we watch them run this challenge for 10 minutes. We watch a tribe win. They are told to their faces that they have won. They are told that they are safe. We are told that they are safe. But right before all of that happens, we're told by Jeff that the challenge you're about to watch means nothing. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a waste of 10 minutes of your life. If anybody really needs to use the bathroom and doesn't have DVR in 2021, that was the perfect time to have eaten the wrong food and have to sit on the toilet for 10 minutes because nothing of importance happened. Because now Erica gets to decide if what we watch tonight is real or not. So to me, that's a waste of my time. Then we turn around and we say, we're not going to go to tribal tonight. So now the best part about Survivor is that at 52 to 54 minutes of every episode, we watch somebody lose their hopes and dreams of playing and winning Survivor.
And we love it.
And we love it, but we do. And that's the problem. We were told tonight that nothing mattered. This episode in the history of Survivor might as well have been one of those bullshit recap episodes they used to put on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like nothing tonight happened that will have any consequence except they chose Nasir instead of Erica. And now Erica is going to go over there and decide whether or not what we watch tonight is what actually is going to take place moving forward. It's a total waste of time. And I see down here, nothing mattered. We got to see all these people relating to each other and more relations bond. Great. Do that in a normal merge way like you do every single season and don't waste an hour of my life. Total waste. Hated every second of it. Bored out of my mind. That's it. Bored. Stupid. Waste of my time.
I think with the, like, with the Erica thing too, because I don't agree with this entire twist, but like one way to take like one, like make one switch is, well, first of all, James Lim made a great point on Twitter. I don't know who smashes hourglasses, but I feel like that results in like 7 years of bad luck or something. I think you're supposed to flip an hourglass. And with that, to turn back time, I think would more, I said this on our previous podcast, turning back time would more properly being rerunning the challenge, which actually I think would be a very cool idea. I also think it would be a cool idea if the players had any idea that any of this was happening, except for Erica. And that's what this boils down to. This is the same thing with Idle Nullifier. Same thing with many things that have happened this season. These players have no idea what's going on, and the power is going to one person who it seems like, I mean, upsettingly for Erica, it seems like she just didn't fit in with this group. And now she's completely altering like the fate because people did not want to give her power.
And that's what pisses me off too. And it's like, so Survivor's doing all these advantages and all these twists this year, which if done right, an advantage or a twist can really work. But in this instance, they literally said, okay, you weren't chosen by that group of people that we're saying are safe. Now you have to go live on your own for 2 days and be miserable. Now, if you want, you can punish those six people. The six people who didn't have a choice but to leave someone out because that's what Jeff and the producer said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
And one thing that Phil and I were talking about that we would love everyone's help on is clarification on if Erica is safe regardless. I thought I heard that she's definitely safe if she flips it. I don't know if he like commented on if she's safe, if she doesn't. But at the moment, every single person on like who's not on Exile, they sound like they're voting Erica. So these players think that Erica is not safe, but it's these players also know nothing in the grand scheme of what's going on. Heather Parisi says Erica only has immunity if she smashes it. I, for a handful of reasons, I would be shocked if Erica doesn't smash this. One, because she immediately gets immunity. Two, all of these people just told her. They just picked Nasir over her. And, I have like three or four other reasons. Jeff gives her this and he goes, you know, Erica, you could be boring or you could do exactly what I want you to and change the game and change history. Like, I don't know, Jeff, which one did you want? Because I don't know if Erica's going to be able to decide. Like, of course she's going to do it. You know, like I cannot think of any present upside to not doing it, because why show your loyalty to these people who just sent you on an island?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, I probably won't podcast next Wednesday night. I'm just throwing that out there now, because now that I'm thinking about this, as it's being discussed, and like, Alexa, I like that you're staying calm, because good for you.
I mean, intern met Sari.
Did meet Sari.
And got recognized tonight, so he is like on a high that you and I can't dream of right now.
Well, good. He might be on a high because he might be taking over here. Like, I really don't know if I'm going to do this next week, because everything that you just explained is literally Jeff and the producers giving a middle finger to the fans and being like, hey, guess what? Erica, here's the deal. You can either give yourself immunity and guarantee you're in the final 11, or you can go back to this tribe where only five people other than yourself are in danger. You missed out on bonding with every single one of them, and you can put yourself at risk. What would you do? It's so idiotic. It is like a child with a crayon decided he was going to write the rules of Survivor this year. And Jeff was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Erica, if she doesn't do that, I don't understand what her thought process is. Because here's the thing. If she doesn't do that, she's putting herself in danger. There is no risk to this. Oh, she's going to piss off six people?
But clearly, she already did. People.
They already chose not to take her. And one of them is probably one of them would have to go home now when she joins the other people. The other people are going to be so grateful to her that she kept them safe. Now she's going to be in the number 6 to 5. It's so stupid. Oh my God. So stupid.
I mean,
if anybody needs me, I'm going to be getting a drink.
I'm going to, Phil is physically red. If for those of you,
I got sunburned horribly today. Too, oh, that's, so that doesn't help
that's
either.
Tough. Yeah, I think like Erica is, I honestly, I don't think Erica is going to go far regardless. Cause I think two days away, your tribe isn't going to defend you anyway. Like it sucks for her. It totally, completely sucks. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll call intern, but yeah, it's just like, they don't trust their cast. They don't believe. This is just not the show that I signed up for. Honestly.
Well, no. And Alexa, you said it best. Cause we were actually watching this one together, even though Alexa was just on my cell phone watching, but Alexa said it best when Jeff goes, or you can turn this on its side and you can make history by doing something with history. And I was like, and Alexa literally goes, oh, Jeff, which one do you want? Like it's so blatantly just I'm not watching this. This is, remember when everybody was like, oh, what if we did a Survivor that was like families and there were kids in it and stuff? This is that. This is literally, it's like, how can we make this silly and goofy? Just ruin the game of Survivor. That's how you make it silly and goofy. And that's what they're doing. They are abandoning everything that made this game what it was. They are winning a challenge means nothing now. Why put any effort in any challenge? Because maybe Jeff will just decide, you know what, at this one, we don't want you to go. Let's have a little production interference here. Or maybe we'll just have somebody say, Hammer, turn back time. Somebody who doesn't like you that we manipulated to not like you. Because what I would be interested to know, what if it was Erica and Evie? I don't know. That's how our whole podcast is.
Oh, that was cute. I like that.
But what if it was literally Erica and Evie, and then they didn't choose Erica? Then Erica has a reason to be pissed anyway. Four people from her original tribe choose not to take her. I'd be mad too. Mm-hmm. But what they should have sent Erica to go have like a feast by herself where she gets an advantage in the game. And then she has to decide if she wants to screw over these people. Instead, they literally said, these people just screwed you. They put you in a bad spot. You want to screw them now so you can make yourself? Oh my God. Alexa, you're gonna have to carry it. I'm so frustrated right now. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm into this either whatsoever. It's just, to me, it's just a matter of like, this is the case for this whole episode because, and again, this is the case for Merge episode. So like, I can cut a tiny bit of slack here, but like, this episode was the humans were the vehicles for the twist, and that's not. To me, that's not an interesting show, and that's not the show that I like to watch. So it's just put 20 randos out there and turn back time and do whatever you want. It's just not I think that, like, especially this moment with Deshaun, Liana, Shan, and Danny, like, it was like, I thought that was a fantastic moment. And like, that's something that like has never happened on Survivor. And it's just like that's really groundbreaking. And it was so sandwiched between so many other things that were like, ugh. Yep. And then the episode just like moves on to Erica and then we're out of here. So I'm sure that's setting up for like something that will majorly affect the merge. Like I don't imagine that's like the last we're going to hear of it, but the way I felt after watching Shan and Liana last week, I was like, wow, I am feeling something. I was like so worn out by how like pointless the rest of the episode was that I couldn't fully like appreciate that the way I would have liked to.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see like how this vote goes down and like, but this alliance can't quite exist yet because they're on two different sides right now. Right. Like half.
Yeah. But because everybody's going to vote, I think that we're in for like a Sydney or a Nasir. Everybody still votes. That's why this is so dumb. Like it's so like,
right. Okay.
And I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say this and I'm going to scream it for everybody to hear because I've been a defender the entire time. Jeff Probst's time on this show is over. It's done. He has ruined it right now. Because this ultimately is Jeff thinking these are like great ideas that everything that he's doing. And I know Jeff has a lot of control I defend Jeff all the time. I'll give Jeff a lot of shit, but he's the host of one of the biggest shows of all time. He deserves a lot of shit. That's going to happen. That comes with the territory. People gave friggin' Tom Brady shit too. It happened. But he has completely lost control. He is out of touch unbelievably. He is so in left field. He has no idea what's going on. He is absolutely clueless. And he's so big that he calls out a bunch of people who he's never going to answer on Instagram and in week one and says, why don't you just at me then? Okay, why don't you actually face the music then? And why don't you talk about the ratings of the show? Because whatever you're doing, it's not working. It's not working. And the thing that scares me is I'm pretty sure they probably do this exact same thing in season 42.
Absolutely. Because
why not? And guess what? It's going to be just as bullshit, and you have completely ruined the game. I forget this bullshit. I would never even apply for Survivor, and I'm a massive failure at applying for Survivor. I'll tell you that much. I've applied many a time, never got a damn thing. But now I've lost all interest. And I would honestly say that I'm the biggest Survivor fan I know. That's why I started this podcast however many years ago. This is just nonsense. It's garbage. It's not what we all love. And great. Oh, well, it's for the new people. It's not for you. I'm 29 years old. I'm not that old. How many if you're cutting me out, you're cutting out everybody in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Well done. You deserve 5 million viewers. That's pathetic. It's horrible. It's embarrassing. And you're doing it to yourselves right now.
What I'm most curious about is what they do for 43 and 44, because I'm sure they looked at 41 probably and they were like
off the air.
Totally. Yeah. Fair. Like they're like, we're going to try all these things. Like 42, because it's filmed in the same cycle. Like there's not that they like seem to particularly care about like fans clapping back, but like, I'm curious what 43 looks like, just because 42 has already been filmed. I can't imagine they're going to make any major changes, because think of how loud people had to scream for Edge of Extinction to go away. And I don't even know how actually gone it is.
Well, and I think the biggest problem here is you're going to end up in a situation where like, I'm complaining. I don't care. I'll complain as much as I want to. Like, I really like I said, if you didn't want to hear me complain, this is the wrong podcast tonight. But the thing is, like, this isn't what Jeff's going to listen to. Jeff's not going out of his way to watch this. Jeff's going to find the six people that CBS tells him, hey, did you see this person tweeted at you saying how great last night's episode was? And that's what he's going to do. It's the same reason we've seen Rupert Bonham 15 times. It's the same reason why we saw Russell Hantz 3 times in 4 seasons. It's because Jeff just does what he wants to do. He got all the power after 20, and that's what's been going on. And it's slow. Every now and then you'll get a good season here and there. But for the most part, we complain more often than we are happy. This reminds me of, if anybody has ever watched the Plinkett reviews for The Phantom Menace, which I know is like kind of like a niche thing, but if you ever watch that, there's a clip in that comes from some sort of documentary or something, behind the scenes footage of everybody has already been filming The Phantom Menace, which was when George Lucas was coming back with Star Wars. And what happens is they've already been filming, and George Lucas walks into the room and goes, we have a script. They've already been filming. Why are you just finishing the script now? And then George Lucas would say something and everybody would just go, yeah, yeah. And you could see they were dead in the eyes. Jeff is that right now. He has just hit that point where people are just yesing him to death over and over with these twists. And it's like, what can we do? Like, why couldn't tonight's twist have just been simply, Erica, here's the deal. You can turn back time if you want to, but we're, like you said, we're going to rerun the challenge. And now you and Nasir are going to go with, if you turn back time, you go with the team that won and you got to run it with them again and win it to be safe. Or you cannot turn back time and you're with the team that lost, something like that. Why couldn't it have just been simpler? Why did it have to be, we're going to run this challenge. We're going to not really merge. We're going to have two people sit out. We're going to have them pick somebody to come on their team. We're going to pick somebody to go to exile. And we're going to pick somebody who gets to choose whether or not this actually happened. Or not. Why did it have to be so much?
I don't know. And even like, you even hear Jeff, like, he's like explaining it to the cast. And then he's like, and here's another layer. And like, they pan out and like, nobody's reacting.
They
like,
don't know what's going on.
They're like, Tiffany last week when she was like, wait, Xander, can you like walk me through that? Like, that just like never should happen. Like that, like, nobody should be this confused, especially the players. And I don't know. Either Jeff's surrounded by yes men or Jeff is not listening to what people are telling him, because I know everyone makes a lot of comments about what Mike White said during the preseason. He didn't listen to him that much.
No, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating. And I mean, like, it just, to me, it's like, I don't want to come back here on a Wednesday. I don't even want to watch next week. It's like, I don't, that's the other problem. I don't care what Erica chooses. That's the other issue. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what Erica ultimately decides she wants to do. Because if she decides to stay, I'm going to be like, well, what is she thinking? She's an idiot. And if she doesn't decide to stay, I'm going to be like, well, these six people just got screwed for doing the right thing. And that's the biggest problem with Survivor of late. When you can do everything right and still get screwed just because production decided it was your turn. Danny, Deshaun, Sydney, Ricard. And who's the other person who was on that team? Not Nasir. Who was the other one? Danny, Evie. Deshaun.
Evie.
And Evie did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. And they're about to get screwed because Survivor forced them to get screwed. It's that's not fun to me. I don't enjoy turning on my TV to watch people that I'm supposed to be building like a bond with as I watch them go through this, get screwed over just because they're getting screwed over. Why can't they get screwed by each other? Why must they get screwed by production? It's so boring.
It is boring. It's boring and confusing, and it's boring because it's confusing. It's just, I mean, and especially because the past few episodes, like, I really enjoyed, like, the players, like, we were getting to know the players. Mm-hmm. The players were making strategic decisions based around their advantages. But a point that a friend made earlier is, like, you can tell that, like, they are salivating over the fact that not a single advantage or idol has been played. Like, Saria is happening again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're excited about that. And that's not going to be enjoyable. It's going to be awful.
It's going to be awful. And we're at the point now too, where like the other thing to think about is like, we have this knowledge is power advantage and we have a turn back time advantage. Doing stuff is now like, does anybody watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Do nothing. Well, that's too little, but do nothing. Literally just do nothing. Go out on Survivor and play the game the way Chelsea played the game. You're going to win. You know what? You have a better chance of winning. Might as well just go play like Chelsea. At least you're going to finish eighth and you're going to get a better payday than the people who just won a challenge and are going to get screwed for no reason. Go on Survivor and literally exist. Willard, this is your game. Chet, get out there and do it again. This is so stupid. People are being punished for being good at one of the three pillars of Survivor, which is outplay. You're punishing these people for outplaying their opponents because they're getting outwitted. No, they're being handed bullshit.
And think about if let's say Erica flips it and one or multiple of those people get to the final three. Like, a lot of the pitches now at final three are like, I mean, people like, half the time jurors like don't seem to really give a crap about challenge performance. It's all about like, what's your resume? What did you do? Half the things that people have done on this season have just been given to them or something like this, where it's just completely flipped. So, and you know, luck is a part of Survivor. That's always been the case, but it's just, there comes a point where it's like, these players didn't actually do anything. They were just in the right place at nine different right times.
Yeah. And that's the thing that annoys me. Like, yeah, Survivor's always got luck. The best player is not always going to win. That's totally fine. But again, like, when it's like Erica got gifted the biggest advantage ever because she pulled a gray rock. Erica has done nothing to deserve this. Erica doesn't deserve to have this power. She hasn't even gone to a friggin' tribal council, which, good for her, because a big part of this game is not going to tribal.
And that's a good thing good for her, yeah.
But now she just gets this power because they said so. That's so stupid. That is literally production saying, okay, well, we want one of these 12 people to have this, so here. And it's the same thing as hiding these advantages right next to the fire. And it's the same thing as like, it's nonsense. It's just pure nonsense. And like, we're having a hard time this year, and I might as well share this now. And maybe it's because I'm a friggin' dick the whole time, but I don't care. We're having a hard time getting people who want to come on this podcast and talk about this season because they hate it. Like, we're having a hard time with that. We have been turned down more this season than any other season in the past. And most of those things that we're getting are like, I'm not watching. I'm not keeping up. This is from diehard Survivor fans. Like, this is from people who have been around sometimes for 37 seasons. This is from people who have been around and finally got to play the game. And now they're finally getting to watch the first real newbie cast since maybe their own season or since they played two seasons. They're supposed to be pumped about this. And most of them are like, this is bullshit. I don't want to be here. Some of them are really good at coming on and doing it anyway, or they're able to follow along, but it's, you're losing the interest of your diehards. That's a hard thing to do. I freaking loved Game of Thrones up until the end. I suffered through that. So many people hated that. I liked it. I will admit that I liked it a lot, but that's how hard it is to lose me on something. And this has just totally lost me. And I feel like every time Alexa says something, all it makes me want to do is bitch. So Alexa, what else you got for me that's going to get me off on another tangent?
If there's any Survivor player listening and wants to send me a DM at Lexa Dexter, if you're interested in hanging out with us Sunday or Monday, please reach out.
And James Lim already dinged us. Okay, good.
Hey, James, how you doing?
I just know James actually listens to us. I don't know how he puts up with it.
I may have received a text from him already, but that's neither here nor there. I'm with you, Phil. I completely agree. It's just, I don't know like what more they can do. Like, I guess they'll have like some, they're going to have to have a double elimination or two double eliminations. And again, it was just crazy. This isn't blame of anything, but just crazy that it was like 12 days and you're merged. And it's like, yeah, that's awkward to hear someone say out loud.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, are we going to get some like wild final six situation? Are we going to get more advantages coming? I cannot imagine that we're going to go through the rest of the season status quo with our normal vote out situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm more just like, I'm just waiting for like Sydney to go because nine people played nine different advantages and she did nothing wrong. Like, it's just, I'm just not, I cannot bring myself to have excitement because I just know that I know how this ends.
Yeah. And I guess like, I don't want to complain about stuff that hasn't happened because there's so much to complain about that is happening. So that's another thing that kind of annoys me is by not having a vote out tonight. Now we're going to have a double boot episode somewhere in there. That's going to be two boots in an hour episode. And it's going to feel super, super rushed.
Yeah. And Heather and Erica are going to go out.
Yeah. I hope so. Bye bye. Cause you know what sucks the most. And here, I'll say something positive. This is what sucks the most. Shan and Ricard, their relationship right now is amazing. One of the most interesting ones we've seen in the last 15 seasons. It really is. Maybe since Cass and Spencer, Tony and Trish, Jay and Adam. Like, this is one of the most interesting dynamics that we could ask for. The two of them, the way they fight with each other, but they want to work together, but they don't trust each other, but they need to work together. This is like watching the Kasaya Six, except there's two of them.
It's incredible.
Fascinating. And the unfortunate part is it's being overshadowed by garbage. It's being overshadowed by there's a dumpster fire happening next to the cute puppy and we're all staring at the dumpster fire. Like, it sucks, but that is what's happening right now. They are totally ignoring what could be one of the best relationships this show has ever had. And they could really set this off where let's set up an all-star season for season 48 so that it's kind of similar to what we did in the first eight seasons. And Ricard and Shan are going to be your headliners. But instead, yeah, they're doing great. And I love watching them play. But let's also like throw in Jeff telling us this thing that is going to tell us that nothing matters. And I can't wait till one of these two go home because of bullshit. And I have to sit here and go, oh, okay, well, that's just Survivor. There's nothing to dissect anymore. The only thing there is to do is either say, good job, Jeff, you're the best, like so many people who clearly work on Survivor are doing, because either they're worried about their job security or they're just gutless in general, or they are going out there and they're saying something, but they're not, they're being just totally overpowered. And right now it's just at the point where I'm going to watch somebody that we really, really like get totally screwed because of this. And it's just driving me nuts. And it's like, you know what? Like, I put so much time into this thing. You know, Alexa and I, we were doing the freaking daily content over the last 300 days before the season actually started. We made it all the way through the COVID year and a half. I've been doing this since the end of season 29. I've been doing this. I've been trying to find ways to expand. We've been doing the Patreon content, all that. I've never been less interested in my life in anything I'm doing right now, just because of what's actually being put out there. I'm not excited to watch Survivor. Tonight, I literally almost texted Alexa and said, hey, this game's going long. Can you please just get on with Intern? But then Intern took a picture with Suri. And then my heart smiled for 3 seconds. But there's no joy in my Wednesday nights right now.
Yeah.
There's no joy in it. I'm not like, and when I think it's good, the last two episodes I liked so much, they pull this out. And this is just going to put a damper on the entire season. And what's annoying is it's not like Pearl Islands where they didn't film the next season until 6 months later. So everybody had time to be like, Jeff, you ever do that bullshit again? We're never going to watch. Oh, okay. I'll just wait 20 seasons. But now this already happened. And I'm guaranteeing this exact same twist is going to be in there. And Jeff's going to have that smug look on his face when he's like, look how great. Don't you miss it? Some of you didn't like it. You're saying he already said tonight that this was going to ruffle people's feathers. I can guarantee that in season 42, he was already saying, I know some of you didn't like this twist last time, but hey, like, we're going to try it again.
Like pre-said that.
And he's saying that before it even airs.
Yeah. So it's like, why are you doing these twists? And I mean, Phil is speaking for both of us when I say like, I'm like, as frustrated I am by the season, I'm also extremely apathetic. And that's almost worse for me. Like, I love canceling my Wednesday night plans so that I can watch Survivor. Like, I love updating our power rankings. I love doing all of our behind the scenes stuff. And I don't have the passion that I used to, because I just am not really enjoying this. And the past 2 weeks, like, it did perk up. And I hate that this is going to be like a week by week thing, but that's kind of what you get with TV shows that happen once a week. But I guess, like, to me, the magnitude is not in week by week, because I know this is what Survivor is now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's where I'm struggling.
Yeah, I guess that's the biggest problem is like,
yeah, because there's going to be up and down episodes of every season. Phil and I did Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, and Ghost Island. Yeah, together. Like we've seen boring.
Yeah,
but
and we watched Chris Underwood win 38 when he was on 4 episodes of the show. But
yeah, we've seen some shit.
But I think the biggest problem right now is that I'm almost waiting for what are they going to screw up next? What are they going to screw up next? What are they going to screw up next? Because if tonight was just a regular merge and we watched somebody get voted out, and maybe they tried to split up and say, you know what, we're going to give 6 people immunity tonight, and 6 aren't going to get it. You run this challenge like your teams, but you're all going to one tribal. 6 of you go, 6 of you are vulnerable, but all 12 of you vote. Somebody gets voted out and it's like, man, they got screwed. They still wouldn't get screwed as hard as one of the 5 people, Evie, Danny, Deshaun, Sydney, or Ricard, is about to get screwed next week. It wouldn't be that bad. And that's the thing. We would be able to kind of move on from that one and dissect it like you do a normal twist and say, that didn't work. I didn't like that. I wish they wouldn't have done this, whatever. But instead tonight, I'm just sitting here going, why? We didn't watch anybody go home. I know this twist is going to piss me off because it already has. I know what her decision is going to be. So why are we having this fake cliffhanger? Like, it was too much. And now whoever goes next week, it is going to ruin the season for me. It is very similar to why I will never put Pearl Islands as my number one. For as entertaining as Pearl Islands is, the Outcast twist drops it significantly for me because it's too much production interference. It's too much. It's not fun production interference. It's over the top, blatant production interference. And this tonight is blatant production interference. And if that's what's going to keep happening throughout Survivor, great. I'll go watch The Price is Right. Like, I'll go watch whatever, Let's Make a Deal, whatever show Adam Klein dressed up as Mario for or whatever. Like, I'll go watch that stuff, because that stuff, production is supposed to be involved. The host is supposed to be in it. And after 20 minutes, you don't care what happens to those people ever again for the rest of your life. Who cares if they got screwed out of winning a car? They were able to be on TV. But this is supposed to be a game show where we're supposed to like the people as they move through. And instead, we are just being taught to hate production. And that is boring. That is not fun, because there's nothing we can do. It's the Godfather hand. Everybody knows right now that I don't do this often, but I would much rather watch the Rob father manipulate everybody than watch a bunch of people that I don't even know manipulate everything that's going on in the game.
Yeah. And what you hit the nail on the head with what is there to dissect. Like, I don't like dissecting twists. I like dissecting what players do and how they react. But these players don't know how to react to these twists because they are not told anything. They have no idea what twists they're working with. And they don't know what they're doing. So it's not fun because the players don't know what they're doing. And we're going to sit here and say, oh, well, like, but we can't even sit here and like assume what Eric is going to do because it makes total sense what Eric is going to do. And then, so for predictions for next week, are we just going to talk about the five people who are not safe and just pretty much talk about a final five? Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, because we all know what Erica's choice is. It's not a choice. We all know what's coming. So why are we pretending that this is some big shocker? You know what I mean? Like, why are we pretending that this is some massive shock?
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
Zach here has a good comment. The thing that made Survivor special was the players were in the driver's seat and now they're in the backseat with Jeff driving.
Yeah. That's damn right. that's damn right. I mean, yeah. That hits the nail squarely on the head.
Michael O'Brien says, do the others get a feast if Erica turns back time? That would be funny.
That would be funny. I know. Yeah. Everybody has to throw up their food.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Everybody that's has to funny. Puke it up. Yeah. It's
yeah.
It is what it is.
I'm shocked we made it this long with no one being voted out.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, like I said, I told you all.
We want to be honest with you guys how we're feeling.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean that's why we do this thing. We don't do this thing to sit here and stroke egos and stuff. Jeff Probst has lost it. He's lost it. I got to meet Jeff. Jeff was a nice guy. He ran that challenge against me and Will, or he was on Will's team, and him and Will lost because Will sucks at everything. But we got to do that. Jeff is a very nice guy. He seemed very interested in what the fans had to say. That was 5 years ago. I don't think Jeff gives a shit anymore. I think Jeff is so on some different planet that all he's like is, well, what about the young new viewers? Great. 12-year-olds are probably going to love this stuff. Your future, though, does rely on us actually sitting down and watching the show, because by the time the 12-year-olds are actually able to buy cable, which, you know, they're not going to do, the show might not be on the air. Maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore and he doesn't want to quit, so he'd rather just get kicked off the air. I don't know, but bring in a different host. It's too much. He's lost it. He doesn't know what's going on. There's no balance of power. And that's it. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I'm putting this like pretty much solely on Jeff's back, because everything that gets put on that show is going through Jeff at this point. Like, let's be real. Everything that happens on this show is going through Jeff Probst. He's not Jeffy Pop anymore. That's for sure. He's just Jeffy not. Pop. He's just not.
There it is.
He's gone. He's totally lost it. I got nothing else. I mean, honestly, we'll see if I'm here on Wednesday, Alexa. We'll have a long talk, I'm sure, at some point this week. But it's it's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. And yeah, I mean, maybe that'll be our October retrospective. Maybe we'll just sit down and we'll list all the people who would do a better job right now than Jeff. And I'm not just talking Survivor hosts or Survivor players, like Rob C. I see Shane Cup, Rob C for host. I'm talking anybody. Literally anybody. Because remember, Jeff didn't play Survivor before he hosted Survivor. And he was great at it at the beginning. But now, man, he's got a bunch of Molotov cocktails. He's just chucking them. He doesn't care where they land. It's a disaster.
So if it wasn't obvious, we don't quite have a guest yet for this weekend. We have a feeler out or two. And yeah, Phil, well, we're going to chat about this, but it's also Halloween on Sunday, and you know, Phil famously loves Halloween. So we're like a little busy on Sunday. So we're either going to do Sunday or Monday, or I'm either going to do Sunday or Monday. Robert's on a high, so I'm going to shoot him a text.
Somebody's got to have a good day, right?
Someone had to hug Suri. You can't not enjoy an episode after hugging Suri.
I know. Too bad he doesn't get any prop points for that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that would have been it. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening to us, but you know, we say how we feel, and that's why you guys have stuck with us. Phil, what kind of cereal do you like?
Logan's is a good nap and a bowl of cereal. Phil will be back to good spirits. I don't eat cereal. Milk makes my tum-tum hurt. So yeah, aww, that's that. I know.
He has a bad tummy.
That's how you know. I'm starting to talk like that. Anyway, John and I are about to hop on in 15 minutes to talk about the Birds and Inglourious Bastards. And I'm actually going to be happy talking about that because I like Inglourious Bastards. And my movie was better than John's because all my movies are always better than John's. But yeah, we'll be back to talk about that. Honestly, the only thing that's keeping me going in Survivor is that I want to finish out mine and John's 100 movies. And if I get rid of the Survivor thing, then what me and John are just going to be putting out. And here's the movie number 34 on the Survivor Specialist channel when they don't talk about Survivor anymore. So I guess you'll all see me for a little bit, but maybe I'll just move into the back and I'll just dictate who Alexa's allowed to have on and what she's allowed to do.
Oh, that's not happening.
When Alexa's like, hey, I'm going to get this person this week, I'll just sabotage her because I am the new Jeff Probst of the Specialist Network. So I'm just
going
to say,
all right, I think we got to shut this down. I don't know where we're going with this.
You're done.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.